Blog Talk Radio. Welcome back to Hannah Your Business Radio. I'm your girl, Adise Renee. And as always, I am very pleased to have you joining me for another episode. Whether you're streaming it live or going to be streaming it later on, either way, I'm just glad that you're here because I am really excited for the show today. Let me tell you, if you didn't realize it already, each weekly episode has to do with something that's going on with me later on in the week. Or going on that weekend or happened earlier, doesn't matter. I decide to make a topic of that idea. It's pretty cool, right? I thought, with all of that being said, and since I'm going to a graduation this weekend, why not do a show about historically black colleges? What are some of the many myths we hear about HBCUs? What are things you only see when attending an HBCU? Some of the benefits, and of course, some of the top HBCUs in the country. Sounds pretty exciting, right? Then, of course, we have the newest segment to the show, Women Handling Their Business, my weekly rant because it's a necessary, very necessary, can't live without it. Oh, anyways, then finally, the quote of the day. So much coming for you this week. I'm pretty freaking excited. Are you excited? I'm excited. Well, now that we've gotten that out of the way, what's coming up for the show now is our short story. So let's head on over to the short story portion of the show. I probably shouldn't have said that since it's not really going anywhere, but it just sounded. So what I'm going to do is tell you kind of like a memory, not really a story. It's pretty much a memory from my sophomore year of college. I think it was sophomore year anyway. But anyways, I didn't expect it to snow that much in Raleigh. I mean, it's Raleigh, North Carolina. I mean, who would have known that it really snows that much? But it was one of our first big snowstorms. And to my surprise, it really snowed a lot. And of course, the best part about any, you know, a lot of snow is you get a snow day. Awesome. But I went to a small school and a small university. So there's really not much to do when you have a snow day besides sit in the dorm and watch TV. No one wants to do that. Not very fun. So one of the guys on the campus, he had this idea. And before social media was this humongous thing, you got everything passed around word of mouth. Because that was probably the best way for information to get changed halfway through the fifth person. But anyway, he had this idea to have a football game in snow with a few of the other guys on the football team. Needless to say, everybody was bored sitting in the dorm. So, hey, even though it's cold, why not go out and have some fun? So everybody got together, went and watched the pickup game in the backfield. Not many people showed up, but still a pretty cool game. Halfway through all the running and the screaming and the shoving and freezing our behinds off, this girl, who always had a knack of starting fights at some kind of event, it didn't matter what event was going on, she always had to start a fight. Well, she decides that someone was sitting in her seat. Mind you, we're all outside, so it's really not like there is assigned seating. I mean, seriously. But nonetheless, she had to have that very seat because it was all hers, apparently. So to make things worse, she decides to do something that no one ever expected. She picks up a giant ball of snow off the ground and pummeled it in this girl's face. I mean, like, literally pummeled it in her face. To my shock, shocked everybody. I was even shocked myself because I didn't expect her to do that. But that wasn't until the game was almost over. So somebody on the other team out in the field picked up another snowball and tossed it at the losing team. They, of course, thought that the losing team were sore losers, so each of them picked up a snowball and yanked at another person. Then two people on the bleachers did the same thing. It was like a ripple effect that I literally watched happen one after another. Before you knew it, everybody that was outside was tossing snowballs all over the place. After about 30 minutes, the entire school and every direction of the campus were throwing snowballs. It was literally a ginormous snowball fight that lasted about 2 hours. It was crazy, but so much fun. I might have gotten hit in the face a couple times, come to think of it. But, I mean, literally, it was like boyfriend and girlfriend were throwing snowballs at each other. Cliques were throwing snowballs at each other, pulling apart, best friends. But the thing about it was that it was just honest fun. One of the few activities in my very small school that managed to be nothing, everybody having a great time. And no problem being, you know, because later on, we were probably going to all be in our dorms anyway, bored out of our minds. Yes, there were a few twisted ankles from the ice, but the most part, I think it was probably one of my favorite memories from college, and that's the honest truth. I mean, there's nothing like a good old college memory, right? But that was my way of starting off the show on Historically Black Colleges, telling you one of my favorite memories from college. But now it's time for the juice of the show. Time to talk HBCUs. And for those of you who are unaware of what that stands for, it means Historically Black Colleges and Universities. And I think this may be my favorite topic so far. Well, of course, next to the show about my mom. But anyway, let's get right down to it because I have a few different subtopics to discuss. I don't want to delay. I want to get right into it. So let's talk about some myths. I think the thing that bothers a lot of people about Black colleges is that they hear so many negative things, or they really have not found out real information all about them. So what I did was a little research of my own. I found an article on schoolguide.com that talks about some of the typical myths about attending an HBCU. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't even understand how some of these are even real myths, but that I guess that's why it's myth, because it's not actually true. But actually, you can probably hear any of these at any college university. It just so happens that people say it mostly about Black ones. So I'm going to address a couple of myself because, yes, I did attend HBCU. But then also a few of them, I'm going to give the response that the woman that wrote the article gave. So let's start with the first one. Black schools do not prepare you for the real world. All right, let's be honest. This is something that I've heard many times, even from my peers and people that I went to school with. But for real, why is it so easy to make this statement unless you really have had that experience? Truthfully, I felt as if having one-on-one communication with my teachers, dedication to excellence from any level of the students, from the straight-A student or the one who's struggling, to preparing me for everyday life, there was just more of a focus on grades and on character and how you excelled, how you talked to your peers and how you spoke to people as an adult or how you spoke, period, or how you would handle a lot of the barriers you'd face in your life. And most of all, how you interact with all different types of people. That, to me, says a lot more about Black colleges. Now, I'm not in any way saying that predominantly white institutions don't provide these same models. In fact, I know many who have graduated from them with the same models. But what I'm saying is that an HBCU provides you with some of the tools necessary to navigate the areas you will encounter in your future as a young Black person in today's society. A lot of which because you were taught by people of the same nature who experienced some of the same things as you. To quote the article from an expert of Peterson's website, I think that's someone who that she found on the article. I couldn't really tell you who it is. But Howard University alone has more than 50,000 alumni and produced more than 10,000 of the nation's Black lawyers, business leaders, politicians, social workers, engineers, artists, musicians, and other professions. Does that about tell you how much of a myth this really is? So next we have, because HBCUs have admission standards and costs than many of the competitive and highly competitive institutions, they must be lesser quality institutions. I'm going to go ahead and quote exactly from the response of the article on this one because her response was honestly right there on the nose. HBCUs work very hard to contain their costs to give students the opportunity to attend college. Statistically, a significant number of minority families are from lower to mid socioeconomic levels, which could prevent them from paying $30,000 to $40,000 per year for college. The same HBCUs want to provide more accessibility to higher education for minority students. As is true with all other colleges and universities, every HBCU is different, ranging from smaller institutions with more limited offerings to a world-renowned universities offering world-class facilities, technologies, and teaching staff. My advice is to judge the school not on its admissions criteria, but on the quality of the programs and resources available to its students, the academic integrity of its courses, and ultimately the success of its graduates. To sum all of that up, the saying, don't judge a book by its cover, pretty much is exactly what she's saying. Instead, in this case, it's don't judge a school by its cost. Next, we have being in an all-black environment is artificial and limiting. Let me tell you how false this myth is. Think about the high school that you went to, depending on what the majority was. Then think about the town or city you lived in and what the majority was. Now, let's just say that you grew up a black girl or boy in a predominantly white neighborhood or went to a predominantly white school. And then you make a choice to go to an HBCU. Now you are surrounded by an environment where you are no longer the minority, but you are the majority. You're not walking into a classroom and feeling as if you're outnumbered by people surrounding you on anything. Instead, you're just another person in the class. You have the same opportunity to be a lawyer, doctor, teacher, athlete, or anything else. Not based on your race, but based on your own knowledge and work ethic. You're no longer limited to being stuck in any situation because you feel everyone will be or do better than you. Instead, you're surrounded by people who want better for themselves. Now, don't get me wrong. I, again, am not saying you can't receive this from a predominantly white institution, but the feeling is so much different. What I am saying is that the black college community sets no limits on the greatness you can achieve and allows your educational experience to be one based on what you take in, not by how you look. This is the last one, and I think this one is honestly, unfortunately, said over and over again by a lot of people. Black colleges are just party schools. Once again, I'm going to quote the article, the response from the article, because it hit the nail right on the nose. College. Any college will present its students with choices. Choices about the friends they make, the majors they will pursue, and the manner in which they prioritize their time. All students living away from home for the first time will have to decide whether or not to put their studies before their social lives. I reject the notion that HBCUs are party havens. Anyone who has visited the college and universities in the Boston, Cambridge, Massachusetts area, i.e. Harvard, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, Boston University, Boston College, etc., knows of phenomenal social life available to students. Bars, clubs, cafes, shops, and dorm parties abound. Yet I seldom hear, actually never hear, of parents trying to dissuade their children from attending these excellent institutions due to the party atmosphere. This will be true in many college communities. Self-discipline will become the ultimate determinant of success. In other words, she is saying partying in college is pretty much inevitable, so don't blame that on an institution. So let's sum this all up. We've heard myths about the level of education, the cost of education, the real-world experience, and the ability to be young and have a good time. But the question for you I have is, if you're letting rumors be the deciding factor in your future, then is college really the place for you anyway? And I'm talking to any of my, you know, high school students that may be listening, or anyone that has a child that's going to college. Are rumors going to be the deciding factor for your child's future? Maybe you should really think about what your college experience was like. But the fact of the matter is, any education that you receive, whether it be from an HBCU or a predominantly white institution, What comes out of it and what's put into it is solely your choice. Myth or no myth? If you're just tuning in, I'm Adi Sune on Handle Your Business Radio, and I want to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk things you will only see while attending an HBCU. Should be pretty funny if I do say so myself. Be right back with you on Handle Your Business Radio.
Hey, guys. What are you doing at this very moment? Listening to the radio, right? Well, why not take the few minutes you have and go follow the Handle Your Business page? All you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com/HandleYourBizRadio. Then you search for Handle Your Business Radio, and voila, you press follow. It doesn't get any easier, right? You web search, then you search for the show, and then you follow. Oh, and after you do that, since I know you're on your Facebook account and Instagram anyway, like the pages, Handle Your Business Radio and at Handle Your Biz Radio. Follow and like. Very simple steps. And be sure to tune in every Wednesday on blogtalkradio.com/HandleYourBizRadio for new episodes with me, Adi Sune. You're staring at your computer anyway. Sounds like you should be liking and following a few things if you catch my drift.
What's up, guys, and welcome back to Handle Your Business Radio with myself, Adi Sune. So before the break, we got a little serious about HBCUs. I have to admit that. So for the next part of this show, I thought we could add somewhat of a light, humorous kind of aspect. I found a list of 15 reasons going to an HBCU is an experience like no other. I mean, that's just duh. Some of these are actually pretty funny, but maybe not. I mean, I thought they were. Depends on how your sense of humor works. Nonetheless, they're at least unique. But the crazy part about it is that they're all true. I think I'll only name my top eight out of all of them, but trust me, you'll understand once I'm through with those eight. So first we have, the yard runneth over with black excellence. There will always be some sort of activity on the yard, from studying to pledging a sorority or fraternity, promoting a fundraiser, meeting and greeting homecoming royalty. It really honestly does not matter. When you're on the yard, you're surrounded by a very vast group of achievers in every corner and on every bench. The HBCU network is like an extended family. So when you graduate from an HBCU, you're becoming part of that legacy for your school. Maybe you're in a fraternity or sorority, and you meet people down the line that are in your same fraternity or sorority. And just something as a simple recommendation, I've seen it get people in their foot in the door and the job of their dreams. Honestly, I really have. I mean, maybe even you're moving to a new state from away from your family, away from your friends, and you just so happen to meet someone who attended your school in that same neighborhood, same community, in the same apartment complex, whatever. All of a sudden, you're invited to barbecues, parties, holidays. You're not alone. Literally, it's like everybody is graduating together. Homecoming is the family reunion. When you come back to your school for homecoming, or so I've heard, I unfortunately have never actually been to my homecoming. It's apparently like you're meeting all your relatives all over again after years. Everyone has stories to share, new life events that have taken place. Everyone's meeting everybody's child, family condolences. And of course, the tailgate parties are known to be like a humongous barbecue for the block. It's like, I've never been to my school's homecoming, but from what I've heard and from the pictures I've seen, it's the type of family reunion that if you are a homecoming person, you want to go to every year. It's always a fashion show on the yard. This is not an exaggeration. And I repeat, this is not an exaggeration. This is real. Not only is this a literal statement because the model groups are out on the yard like it's a runway every few weeks, killing it, of course, but also because everyone wants to show off. I mean, from new shoes to new jackets to, you know, repping your city with the flyest gear, how awesome your car is, the latest hairstyle, you name it, the yard is seeing it, and you're strutting up and down that yard like it's your own runway. And everybody's doing it, and doing it well, I might add. Dealing with the financial aid office will build your character. Let me just say, from the stories I've heard, when you walk into the financial aid office, you are walking in with praying hands for real. And hopefully you're walking out with your head held up high and smiling from cheek to cheek because you get to start the semester. Because it literally takes all the character in the world to get through that life. And that is the financial aid life, I mean. I unfortunately never really had that problem. I have not really experienced the depth of the financial aid problem, but I've heard that it leaves you like on your knees crying, thank you, Jesus. And the bands get down. And I don't just mean like bands at a concert. No, I mean marching bands. Again, not an understatement. When you're at a football game, yes, of course, you're there to see the game. But it's not like everybody goes where they want at halftime because they would rather see the halftime show. Some of them would rather see the halftime show than the game. You're literally trying to find the best spot that you can just so you can jam with the band. The dancers on the field dancing their behinds off. The flag girls are twirling like never before. And the drum line don't even get me started. It takes a lot of work for a band to come together and sound as amazing as they do. But believe me, they didn't make the movie Drumline or have Battle of the Bands for no reason. Because at HBCUs, game time and halftime go hand in hand. Pride for your alma mater transcends past graduation. You rep your school no matter where you go. I literally rep my school last week, and I forgot I even had paraphernalia. But that's just me. But normally, because you want everybody to know what school you went to, and especially if it's such a humongous achievement for you as that school was, or someone amazing is speaking at your graduation, or something great happens for the school, everyone must know. Me, yes, me over here, I went to that school, yep. I graduated from there, yep. I mean, it literally is like school pride just comes out of the woodwork sometimes. And last but not least, HBCUs will be always very relevant. This statement I'm about to give is quoted directly from the article. Last but not least, the one I think may be the most important. See, earlier when I talked about MIPS and HBCUs, this is not from the article. This is actually from me. Earlier when I talked about the MIPS of HBCUs, one of the most important points I touched on was how you are now the majority and not the minority, and how they make school affordable for everyone. See, it's because despite people questioning if HBCUs are still needed, these schools constantly prove that their students and alumni serve the community, impact professional industries, and lead progressive movements. And that will, and always has been, very, very relevant. Now, I'll admit, they weren't all as said they would be, but they were all true and real and definitely unique. But it's an experience, and every experience brings something new and maybe even off the wall to the table. But that is just another reason why I love historically black colleges. If you're just tuning in or just now listening, it's none other than Adi Sernay on Hannah Your Business Radio talking about historically black colleges and universities. So far we have touched on myths, unique reasons why it's such a great experience. Now, I know I said I had another exciting part about homecoming, but I think I touched on some of the gist of that awesomeness of homecoming in the previous segment, so I'll get right into the top best HBCUs in the country and just a few facts on what could be the reason why they're one of the top. And, of course, what is at the top of the list, then the school I'll be visiting this weekend, Howard University. Howard's MBA program was recently named the greatest opportunity for minority students by the Princeton Review. The school has awarded more than 100,000 degrees since 1867. Spelman College. The college reports a 76% graduation rate average over the past 6 years. Spelman offers 27 available majors. Hampton University. Programs at Hampton are designed to promote progressive education. The School of Business was named the best department in the nation in 2005 by the National Urban League's Black Executive Exchange Program. Tuskegee University, the only HBCU with a fully accredited College of Veterinary Medicine and doctorate offered. Tuskegee produces over 75% of worldwide African American veterinarians. The nursing baccalaureate program was first in Alabama and one of the oldest in the U.S. Xavier University of Louisiana, one of the only two pharmacy schools in Louisiana, among the top three producers of Doctor of Pharmacy degrees to African Americans in the nation. Xavier is awarded 522 degrees in 2013 alone. Like, that's a lot. And Xavier's not a humongous school. Then we have Florida Agricultural and Mechanical University, also known as FAMU. FAMU offers 54 bachelor's degrees, 29 master's degrees, 3 professional degrees, and 12 doctoral programs. Most popular undergraduate programs at FAMU are Business Administration, Biology, Criminal Justice, and Allied Health. North Carolina A&T University, home to enrollment of more than 10,000 and more than 2,000 employees. North Carolina A&T is classified by the Carnegie Foundation for the Advancement of Technology as a doctoral research university. Bowie State University. Bowie State offers 22 undergraduate majors and 21 graduate programs. Bowie is among the top 20 HBCUs for producing Peace Corps volunteers. Tougaloo College. Over 60% of graduates enter graduate or professional school immediately after graduation. 70% of faculty hold terminal degrees in their respective fields. Winston-Salem State University ranks highest in the UNC college system for job placement for graduates. Also offers more than 100 student organizations on campus. Morehouse College. Morehouse celebrates its 150th anniversary in 2017. Students at Morehouse represent more than 40 states and 14 different countries. A lot of men. Probably a lot of attractive men, too. Anywho, Oakwood University is host of the annual camp meeting for the South Central Conference of Seventh-day Adventists since 1946. The university campus at Oakwood is considered a historically landmark in Huntsville. Albany State University. Albany State offers 34 undergraduate and 17 graduate degrees. The school has graduated more than 14,000 students since 1903. Clark Atlanta University will be my last one. Clark Atlanta enrollment totals 3,485. 74% is female and 26% is male. 81% of the school's faculty have terminal degrees. And this isn't even the entire list, but out of all of the colleges and universities in the world, to know that such a large population is keen on excellence and thriving education of young Black men and women, that, my friend, is a feeling like no other. I have to say that doing this part of the show has really brought back a lot of memories of my life from 6 years ago back at Shaw. Walking across that stage, yeah, I went to a pretty small school, and I'm sure it's not on the list of top HBCUs, but I can without a doubt and without question say that I am a very, very thankful that I graduated and attended an HBCU. I implore you. If there are any young Black men and women listening to my show right now, to admire those that have come before you from one of these institutions and take it upon yourself to take tools, do research, weigh the pros and cons, and after all of that, then make the best decision for your life on what school you want to go to. And don't sleep on Black colleges. They making it happen. Gosh, I think I've gotten a little emotional right there. If I let myself, but good thing I didn't. An awesome segment, though, I do say so myself. And I hope that you enjoyed it just as much as I did. And if you don't love HBCUs, maybe you do now. Who knows? Well, let's take another quick break. And then when we come back, it's time for Women Handling Their Business. You know what grinds my gears, my favorite part, and the quote of the week. Don't go anywhere. I'm Adise Renee on Handle Your Business Radio.
It's Monday night. You're working on your personal business proposal because you just thought of an amazing idea for a small business. Everything is coming together great. But then you realize you have to get the word out there somehow. That's where I come in. Ever thought about advertising for your business on blog radio? If so, I'm your girl. Public service announcements, party shout-outs, or just plain get your name out there. Email me, Adise Renee, at handleyourbizradio@gmail.com, and I'll take care of everything for you. One simple conversation, and we are in business. Don't start your business without getting some advertising first. And radio, better yet, internet radio, is a great way to get started. So email me with your business name and the idea for your commercial, and we will go from there. HANNAURBIZRADIO@gmail.com. Let Adise Renee do the talking for you.
Welcome back, lovely people. It's time for one of the most awesome segments of the day, Women Handling Their Business. And it will actually be pretty brief today because there's just so much to say about these amazing women that it would take me forever and ever to talk about each and every one of them. But it honestly blew my mind when I read it. It was just so good I had to share it. I even shared it on my Facebook page so everyone could see it and just check it out and find out about these wonderfully elite eight, as I call them. Also, you can check it out on the website for harriet.com. And you'll find the entry for the Elite Eight. Well, it's not called the Elite Eight, but you'll notice it when you see it. See, as always, searching for women who are doing things to feature is no easy task. Because there are hundreds of women all over this country that are just doing fabulous things. But this one stood out to me like a sore thumb. Not just because it was about graduating, but because it's eight women. Like I said, the Elite Eight. So it's on for Harriet.com, and this is what they had to say about these women. In May, eight black women are earning their PhDs in education from Indiana University. The amazing thing is these women did not all start the program together, but they found each other along the way and cultivated relationships to help them achieve their goals. This May, they're making history. The university has never had eight black women complete a program at one time. The Great Eight, or Elite Eight as I say, attribute their success to the groundwork by black women before them. They are committed to leaving institutional legacy so black women still in the program and those coming behind them have the support they need to thrive. Graduation ceremonies for the Great Eight will be on Indiana University's campus and Bloomington and Indianapolis campuses between May 5th and May 8th. These are the names of the ladies. We have Demetries Hutchins. She's getting a higher education doctoral candidate degree. Jada A. Phelps Moultrie. Jasmine M. Haywood, a higher education doctoral candidate. Jahari S. Shuck. Juhana N. Rogers, Masters of Education, Doctoral Candidate in Higher Education. Nidreya R. Njoku, I'm not sure how to say her name, Higher Education Doctoral Candidate. Shannon McCullough, Masters of Education. Tiffany S. Kaiser, Urban Education Studies Doctoral Candidate. These Great Eight or Elite Eight women sure handling their business and doing it very well, I might add. If you want to know more about each of these ladies, as I said, check out the article on my Facebook page. I shared it on there on Handling Your Business Radio or for Harriet.com. Now it's time for Adise's most exciting part of the show. Well, if you think this part is exciting, maybe you don't. You know what grinds my gears.
You know what really grinds my gears?
All right. So now you guys are always probably thinking, Adish, she sure is opinionated. But when you see and hear some of the most annoying things as I do, it reaches that point where you just gotta yell and scream and let everybody know how much it drives you crazy. For instance, it drives me up the wall when I hear people talk about how they cannot afford college. Please cry me a freaking river, why don't you? When someone has to drop out because they need to take care of family or they're a full-time parent, that's a reason I can accept for not finishing school. But that you can't afford it? Please, come on, spare me all of that. If you want to go to college, then go. Get off your behind and fill out a financial aid application, because clearly if you don't have enough time to afford school, then they will give you a lot of money. Excuse me, if you don't have enough money to afford school, then they'll give you a lot of money. And there are scholarships for any and everything nowadays. Shoot, you get a scholarship for just being left-handed. Bet you didn't know that. Seriously, do your research, and you could pretty much have school paid for you if you really want to. No one likes to take out loans. I get that. I totally get it. But if you're determined and focused, school can happen for you whatever way you want. Just make it happen. You just have to be willing to put in that work and make it happen for you. It also drives me up the wall when I hear people downplaying a person that wants to continue their education. Since when is it a bad thing to want to be smart and educated? Oh, no, I guess you wanted me to be a bum for the rest of my life and work at McDonald's behind the register, right? At some point in your life, when are you going to desire to be better? And when are you going to stop sticking your nose up anyone that actually wants to become better than their circumstances? This, honestly, this is something I will never understand. It makes no sense to me. As a matter of fact, it just grinds my freaking gears. Yes, that's how I get when things make no sense. But I got it all out now. I feel better. One more quick break, and then it's on to the quote of the week. The show is going great, guys, so don't run away just yet. I'll be right back on Hannah Business Radio.
Hey, guys. What are you doing at this very moment? Listening to the radio, right? Well, why not take the few minutes you have and go follow the Hannah Your Business page? All you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com/HannahYourBizRadio. Then you search for Hannah Your Business Radio, and voila, you press follow. It doesn't get any easier, right? You web search, then you search for the show, and then you follow. Oh, and after you do that, since I know you're on your Facebook account and Instagram anyway, like the pages, Hannah Your Business Radio and at Hannah Your Biz Radio. Follow and like. Very simple steps. And be sure to tune in every Wednesday on blogtalkradio.com/HannahYourBizRadio for new episodes with me, Adish Renee. You're staring at your computer anyway. Sounds like you should be liking and following a few things if you catch my drift.
Welcome back for the last segment of the day, the weekly quote. I'm Adish Renee, and I've really enjoyed the show today, to say the least. Just thinking about old memories, thinking about my life at an HBCU. Needless to say, this has been one of my better shows. I also hope that everyone enjoyed the show as much as I did and got something out of it, even if it's as simple as learning that there are actually myths about attending HBCUs. Anyway, so before we say goodbye, it's time for the quote of the week. And I tried to find a quote that fit my topic of black colleges, but that wasn't really very easy. But the quote I did find still fits very well for the discussion. It's by Whitney A. Griswold. Excuse me, A. Whitney Griswold is her name. A college education is not a quantitative body of memorized knowledge salted away in a card file. It is a taste for knowledge, a taste for philosophy, if you will, a capacity to explore, to question, to perceive relationships between fields of knowledge and experience. I'm going to say that one more time. A college education is not a quantitative body of memorized knowledge salted away in a card file. It is a taste for knowledge, a taste for philosophy, if you will, a capacity to explore, to question, to perceive relationships between fields of knowledge and experience. A. Whitney Griswold. After that, all that's left to say is a college education can mean whatever you want it to mean. But if you ask me, it will still be the best 4 years of your life, no matter where you attend and no matter how hard it is. But take that chance and don't regret it afterwards. That's until Sally Mae calls, then you may regret it a little bit. Just kidding. Well, thank you so much, guys, for joining me for the show today. It has been so awesome, and I couldn't be more happy that you were able to tune in or that you're streaming it later on. All I care about is that you're part of the show. Actually, there is something else I care about, and that is you following the show. It seems complicated, but honestly, it's really not. All you have to do is you log on to blogtalkradio.com. You search for Hannah Your Business Radio, spelled B-I-Z-N-E-S-S. That's Hannah, U-R, B-I-Z-N-E-S-S Radio. And Hannah does not have an H on the end. Then click on the link that says follow. It will ask you to register, and don't worry, you don't have to purchase a single thing. You can register through Facebook or by your email. And then you're done. Simple. You're following the show. Then once you follow, you'll get an email every time a new show is coming, and you'll get another email when the new show has been posted. Really, it's so easy. So follow the show, guys. Next chance you get. Come on, do it. Also, Facebook, Hannah Your Business Radio page. Like it. Even though I really need to post more on the Instagram page, at Hannah Your Business Radio. Support a girl doing it on her own, guys. Come on, do it. Really, though, I would love if you would follow my show. Either way, I'll still be coming back to you every week speaking on, let's see, what am I going to speak on? I know, theater. Since the high school I go to is going to be doing their spring musical, I figure, why not do a show on theater? That just kind of came to me off the top of my head. It's kind of amazing, right? But I'll be right back here May 12th, 5 p.m. for our show on theater. And just come back to me. I'd be glad to hear from you. Anything you have to say, anything you want to share with me on my Facebook page, please do Adise Renee or Hannah Your Business Radio. I have a great show for you with all the wonderful pieces all mixed in together. So glad to have had you with me on Hannah Your Business Radio, and I hope everyone has an excellent weekend. For I am headed to D.C. to see my family and introduce William to my parents for the first time. Please wish me luck. I'm going to need it. Happy Cinco de Mayo, guys, and don't have too many margaritas tonight, but do have one for me, please. I'm Adise Renee. I love you all, and I'm outie on Hannah Your Business Radio.